Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Chuck Palahniuk is the best-selling author of Fight Club. He'll be in Saratoga Springs with his new novel, Beautiful You, about the apocalyptic marketing possibilities of female pleasure. He will be at Skidmore College in Saratoga Springs tomorrow night. It's a North Shire bookstore event. The event at Skidmore is sold out, but if you want to get a book signed, you can go to North Shire and they will be able to get one signed for you in advance. Chuck Palahniuk is the author of 13 novels, including Haunted, Diary, Lullaby, Choke, Invisible Monsters, and of course, Fight Club, which have all sold more than 5 million copies in the U.S. Fight Club was made into a movie directed by David Fincher and starring Brad Pitt and has since become a cult classic. He's also the author of Fugitives and Refugees and the nonfiction collection Stranger Than Fiction. It's a great pleasure to welcome Chuck Palahniuk back to the roundtable this morning. Chuck, thank you very much for being here.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Very nice to have you with us. Always nice to have you here. Tell us a little bit about, first of all, do you like being on the East Coast? How are things going?
Things are going great. Happy Halloween.
Well, happy Halloween to you. How does Chuck Palahniuk usually celebrate Halloween?
Usually by hiding out and not doing anything. Chelsea Kane, the thriller writer, always has a huge Halloween party in Portland because she loves costumes. And my goal is to always avoid her party.
And for no other, not for a personal reason, I assume, but just to avoid the costume part?
Imagine several hundred writers all in costumes in Chelsea's house. Just a toxic level of writers.
Because people think of you, I guess, as sort of a Halloween writer in the sense that there is a fear level, a spook level, a level of weirdness there that translates well to the holiday.
I live Halloween every day of my life. I don't need one special day.
Every day is Halloween in your world, yeah. So what do people expect from you? I find that fascinating.
You know, I think they kind of expect, they used to expect sort of Charles Manson that would turn into a werewolf, but now they expect this guy who is so debased, who is so below kind of any kind of morality that they feel safe to tell me anything. It's kind of like you would make a much more truthful confession to Satan than you would to God. And so people can tell me anything, and they seek me out to tell me their darkest things.
So let's explore that. What do you think there is about you, about your work, that is so open that people would feel that way?
I recognize right up front that people's job as people is to look good all the time and to do things that make them look good and to, in doing so, kind of dominate one another. And accepting that, it gives me the freedom to be the idiot that does the idiotic thing, that says the unsayable thing, that takes the pressure off of them possibly being the idiot. I make them look good just by me looking stupid.
But they identify you. But they identify with you. I mean, it's not just that they're looking at you as a scapegoat. They're looking at you, it seems, and reading you because there is a level of identification.
So many of my books are about people losing the only power that they have, being ultimately humiliated and devastated in front of their peer groups. And especially for young readers, the only power that they have is their vitality and their attractiveness and their status in their peer group. And so I depict characters losing all of those things and yet still not being destroyed. And so if you can show a reader their worst fear and show a character surviving it, that's what they want to see.
So put that into context when it comes to Beautiful You and ultimately what you are trying to accomplish with this novel where billions of a billion husbands are about to be replaced.
So it's really about a young woman who has reached that crisis point. She's just graduated law school. She's not really sure if she wants to be a lawyer. She has been pursuing every dream and aspiration that's been dictated to her by her parents, by her clergy, by her professors, and she doesn't really know what she wants to do herself. She doesn't have a dream of her own. And she's, in a way, in search of that. And after a lot of adventure and a lot of drama, she finds it by the end of the book.
This is a safe to say we can't talk a whole bunch about it because it's a very
filthy.
Sexual. Yeah, it's filthy. It's a very sexual novel because there's a lot in here about sex toys and the replacement of men using these and so when you are in that mindset of writing, is it I mean, are you in a filthy state of mind, or does it, or is there still a compartmentalization that can go on?
You know, the filthiness is just kind of a mask, because I wanted to write a book about arousal addiction, which seems to be kind of taking over at least men's lives with so many, you know, video games and online pornography and gambling and so many compulsive behaviors. But I wanted to write about it kind of within a kind of non-threatening metaphor. And so Beautiful You allows me to make it kind of funny and kind of sexy and kind of dirty, but still to talk about the phenomenon and, you know, get it out there.
And what does this tell us about Penny Harrigan? Because as you say, she has a lot going for her, and then this happens. So do we look at what is happening to her as a tragedy or a great opportunity?
You know, she initially it's a tragedy, but she's able to, you know, move beyond it, and then she's able to rescue other people who have been trapped in the same obsession. This sounds so vague and coded when, in fact, it's really a very earthy novel.
It is a very earthy novel. In fact, I would even say, and I don't know if you agree with this, but earthier than the last few of your novels.
Oh, yeah.
Was that intentional?
It was. You know, every once in a while, I write a book that I know will get absolutely no media coverage because it is so out there. It's so outrageous and edgy, and so I didn't expect to get any media for Beautiful You. But you just have to do it. You just have to put that bad, bad, dark book out there.
Why do you, because of the reasons that you just mentioned of being almost an addiction? There's obviously people that are drawn to the issues of which you were discussing. So I guess what we take out of this is that, but we don't want to look at it negatively, right? we don't want to examine it too much.
I don't think there are certain issues that at the time when they are issues, they can't be looked at directly. Ira Levin was so good with Rosemary's Baby in getting us to look at how little control women had about their reproductive health in the 1960s. And so the trick is to find a metaphor that allows people to look at something like arousal addiction at the time that it is a real problem and get comfortable with it and eventually take action.
When you talk about this particular book and knowing that it's going to be perhaps a difficult sell, at least in a media sense, do you think about that at all in the writing, or not that you don't care, but it's just it's the work is the work, and then whatever happens to it happens to it.
That really is. It is. The work is the work. I want to keep myself writing, keep myself laughing while I'm writing, and then just bring it out and see what happens.
The laughter is important.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I've got to repeatedly shock myself, take myself to places I had no idea where the book was going to go.
Is that from each page of the novel or from the last book that you have to continue to shock yourself?
No, it's really from each page, page by page. I can't really know exactly where the book itself is going to go, or I wouldn't bother finishing the book. And I think with readers also, if I can surprise myself while I'm writing the book, it's more likely that the reader will never be able to anticipate the next part or the rest of the book.
When you think about that, the shock value, is it more difficult to shock us, to shock the readers now?
Boy, I think it's more difficult to constantly keep the reader engaged while shocking them, to alternately charm them, make them laugh, show them something kind of clever or heartwarming, and then to shock them. You can't just shock them all the time.
Right.
You're going to exhaust and alienate them.
Charm is an interesting word because there is a charming nature to this novel and to much of your work. I mean, even Fight Club, there's a very charming nature to it, even though it is very raw and brutal.
And that's something I loved about Ira Levin's books, is that they started like soap operas. They were someone always starting out with a fresh, new life just ahead of them. A new apartment to move into, a new subdivision to move into. A Kiss Before Dying was started with a couple going to get married. There's always a new beginning, and then things go to hell.
Right. And it's almost as if you're tempting fate because you're going into a situation saying, this is the perfect situation, what could go wrong? And we find out what could go wrong.
And that's always the case. When you find that thing you think will deliver you, it always has a new set of problems.
Are you still looking for that thing to deliver you, or have you found it in your writing and your place in the literature world?
In the writing itself, I have found it. It's the thing that always brings me joy. And so, it's a fantastic kind of piece.
Does it go with the personal in the sense that if you're having a good, that the life moments correlate, the good wife moments correlate with the good writing moments, or does that, there doesn't necessarily have to be that correlation?
To tell the truth, more often than not, when my life is going horribly, my writing is going very well.
Yeah. And that's...
Yeah, for whatever reason.
Well, that seems fairly standard, though, isn't it? I mean, that's one of the reasons I asked the question. I mean, it seems that people then, because it brings out the creativity and you're looking for the alternate, right?
Right. You're looking to escape the present moment of pain, and you're looking for a kind of a metaphor within which you can explore the pain in yourself and kind of exhaust your reaction to it.
And that doesn't mean that you have to remove the pain from what you're writing about or remove a level of pain in the story that you're telling. It's just that you're exploring it in a different way.
Exactly. A way that, in a way, you're charming yourself to go to the greatest extent of the pain, because otherwise you wouldn't choose to go there.
Well, the new novel is terrific. It really is great. It's called Beautiful You. Chuck Palahniuk will be in Saratoga Springs with his new novel tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Skidmore College in Saratoga Springs. The event is sold out. There is some standing room, and if you go to Northshire.com, you can find out more information about that. Also go to Northshire.com if you want to order an autographed copy of the book. And it's going to be terrific to have you in town, sir. I thank you very much for being with us this morning. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
And people should also wear their pajamas to the event. That is, part of this year's theme is everyone is wearing their pajamas.
All right. So it's a pajama party at Skidmore with Chuck Palahniuk.
Thank you.
It sounds great. Chuck, thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow night in RPJs.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, Beautiful You. It is published by Doubleday. A quick note that we just want to say a lot of people have been writing to us or calling us, telling us that they've been trying to write during the the poll question and our roundtable panel, and our email has been down, and they're working on it, and hopefully we'll come back. But know that we will get your letters, and we will talk about them more, obviously, on our panel discussion on Monday. But thank you very much. Keep them coming. It's roundtable@wamc.org, and we'll get them when we're back up and running. Coming up next, Garrison Keillor and the Writer's Almanac. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.